I'm sorry the little print's sort of small, but try your best. Okay? You know, worry is something we accept, but we're really not supposed to accept it. Because worry in itself is displeasing God. And, hello dear. And in displeasing God, that means it becomes a spiritual problem. It's sin. And people don't like to hear that because that's probably our greatest sin for many of us is how we worry. So therefore we have to understand, why does God call this a sin? Why does he feel that this is really a very grave spiritual problem? And it is a grave spiritual problem. Because when we're in this state, we'll never find anything that God wants to give us. Because we have stepped outside of the perimeters. We have displeased God in that we don't turn to him. I'm sure that if you went home today or tomorrow, say tomorrow, and your child comes home and it's supper time, and they say, "That's all right, Mom, I think I'll go next door. I can get my dinner over there." And you would stop and look at him as he walks out, you know? I mean, he hardly knows that next door neighbor. What in the world is he doing this for? And so it is, in a sense, what we do to God. We go to other things instead of turning to him. To him, this is disbelief. Worry reveals that you don't really believe that God can do and provide for your needs. And there is a tremendous truth in this. You say, "Oh no, I believe God." Well, if you believed God, truly believed him, that the circumstances of life he can take care of, why then are we worrying? Because down deep inside, we don't really believe he will provide it. Now, I didn't say he can. We believe God can do anything. But it's the fact that will he do it to us? That it also is a sense of disobedience. Because he tells us to cast our care over on him. Worry reveals that you are taking on personal responsibilities and concerns for which God has already promised to provide us for. Don't worry about what you're going to have to eat or drink. Don't worry about these things. If he can take care of the little birds, he can take care of us. But you and I have this disbelief, so we take on this ourselves. We begin to worry and concern about it ourselves. But this isn't, he calls that disobedience. And then it's a destruction. Worry has a tendency to work like stress, for it is stress. For when we worry, we're stressful. And worry has a tendency, therefore, to destroy or to hurt or to afflict parts of the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It brings on to us many physical ailments, such as high blood pressure, digestive system problems, heart trouble, headaches. And it opens and it probably does things to our immune system. Why? Because we are worrying. And worrying, in a sense, is using up the chemicals that are toxic, that are not to be used in this type of way. So it actually is destructive to us, worry is. And it dishonors God. Worry shifts the focus of attention from the all-sufficient power of God to your human insufficiency and insecurity. Your worry is the fact of your feeling insecure. We have to understand that God can help us in these things in such a wonderful way. Let's go on now and talk about these things. What is the focus of worry? Now, sometimes the worry, it seems to be a gigantic, tragic crisis type of thing. And so you wonder, is that a sin? Well, the fact is that you and I have not been able to adjust our spiritual life to where Christ, God, becomes the first ones we talk to about our problems, our focus is on something else. A specific characteristic of worry is a negative form of the future. What we're worrying about is something negative that's going to happen. A little bit of it may have happened now, but it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. So if you're worried, you're spending time speculating on what might be or may not be. And then we fear the worst. Isn't that true? That's right. There are those that have feared tests. Physical tests. Educational tests. Until it's almost paralyzed them. And they weren't able or capable of doing. Why? Because they have focused on worry itself. And spending that time speculating on what may or may not happen. Which is really very foolish. This is the kind of things. This is how we do it, the process of it. What if I lose my job? So now you have this little thing coming up. I might lose my job. There are some things that are suspicious looking that might mean that I may lose, or they're talking about downsizing. So therefore, how am I going to pay my bills? What if I can't find another job? And so when in this first initial thing of worry, then we begin to speculate in a very negative way. You see? We're actually, how will we do it? Well, what if I lose my job? I can say, Lord, I'm your child. I know that you care for me. I know that you are able to do greater things. And you see where your focus is? It's no longer on those things of negative thinking and then speculation of negative thinking. But we begin to raise our eyes above ourselves, because this is what God promised us in his word. What if my spouse leaves me? Having problems. They're acting funny lately. What suppose they leave me? How will I make it alone? What will people think? So we see here that this is really these negative thoughts. What if my teen gets into trouble? How will I deal with it? What will my options be? What if my parents become incapacitated? How will I pay for long-term care? What will they expect me to do for them? Will anybody else help me? And so when we get this initial worry, then we begin to speculate the future in a negative term. So you can see what that does to us. Now, Sister Schwartz, you're not supposed to be concerned over everything. Of course we have concern. Jesus had concerns. But there is a difference between worry and concern. Worry is the destructive thing, the destructive worry. Sometimes it paralyzes us. We just don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. It's like our mind just snaps off. We can't even think about it. Sometimes it decreases our creativity. We don't think, well, what can I do in this? We're just looking, like we said before, at negative things that's going to happen. So it decreases our creativity, prevents initiative. It prevents initiative. In other words, what can I do? This may happen, and it, as it does that, our own little head here doesn't begin to say, but I could do this, or but maybe we can get this way. You see? So it prevents our initiative. It results in anxious fretting. Now that's when it begins to be speech. We begin to fret about it. And we're very anxious about it. And as we take on these things, then it begins to work on the physical. And so we see that destructive worry, this is what happens. We attempt to control the future, but we can't control the future. That's one thing you and I cannot do. I have made plans for the future, and not one of them ever worked out. That's right. I don't know about you, but I struck out. I had plans for when my mom, because I took care of him 12 years, but for parts of that time, I guess for about 5 of those years, they could pretty well do for themselves. They went to McDonald's, they just lived with me, and I bought the food and that kind of thing, you know. But then when they got down, I had my plans all made. the leader of the president of FEA said I could put them in the manor. You see, we had a house or a home on our campus for the older people who were not well. So he said, when you go away, they can go there to stay. Well, that was wonderful. And then I had a very dear friend, and she was sort of a helper for me for several years. And so I was figuring, well, Rowena will be coming, and she will be able to take care of them when I go, you know? So I'm having all these beautiful plans. Lo and behold, didn't they shut the manor? That was gone. Rena came, but Mama didn't like Rena. And they had one terrible time. So out was Rena. And there I was. I had no more plans, but God did. And every year that I went after that, he had somebody there to take care of my parents. We can't plan for the future. We're very human, but we can really put our plan, let God take care of our plans. So let's go on now and see what it tells us, that we fear the worst. Isn't that the truth? I like Facebook, okay? I'm one of those kind that do like it. I use it. I have on my particular group, a group that sends in prayer requests. You know, they're always lying. They'll write it out, and I think a lot of them are Spanish or Haitian because they even write poorer than I do. And so they're writing these out, you know. And I find that as I begin to pray for them and see these things, that it is the fear that is holding people many times when it comes to worry. They worry about almost everything. And that's where the fear grips hold of the heart. And when fear gets hold of us, anxiety, other areas of psychological and emotional problems begin to rise. We appear to be negative to others. Others begin to feel like, they're very negative, you know. Here they come. I have a friend, love her dearly. We work together, but she's had a problem for years. I've talked to her for years and years. She lives in Miami. And now when she calls me, if I don't feel quite good, I'm not sorry that I didn't answer. Because sometimes I can hardly take it. It's so much of the same negative worrying going over, and I've talked to her and told her, we've talked together, but she's never got to the place where she's able to overcome it. Subsequently, her conversation and her very demeanor brings out that type of worry. And then it distracts the mind from what is really important. Sometimes we worry over something, and we worry over a tree, but we miss the forest. All we see is the tree. And this is what happens with the destructive things of worry. But now let us go on to what is concern. Concern motivates us. I have got, something has happened. I have to do something about this. We probably lifted our heart to Jesus. And then it begins to motivate us to look into different areas of where we can find something that might be able to help us. It increases our creativity. Our mind becomes more sharp. Our mind is being sort of pushed that way. And so we become there's more initiative to try to find something. The results in a calming focus. We have results that we look at it as something that God will help us. We'll make out. We'll make it. So many times we don't feel that. Attempts to improve the future. It hopes for the best. Hope is not wishing. You know, sometimes we think that when he talks about faith, hope, and love, that it's talking about wishing. No, it's not wishing. Hope there is like having hold of an anchor and holding on to that anchor, knowing that it will hold me. That's actually the meaning of the word hope in the Greek. So we see that we hope for the best. We appear positive to others. My, she's going under that, but it doesn't seem to be stressing her out. Of course, it directs the mind to what is important. So it takes an altogether different pathway than what worry does. Now, let me give you a very, very simple illustration of it. And that was a woman who moved into one of these gated areas. And in the gated area, there was a lake. Now, when she got there and she saw that lake and how close they lived to it, and she had been worrying about it before she got there, but when she got there, she thought, what am I going to do about my daughter? What if she goes out of the house and I don't know it? What if she goes down to that lake and gets in and drowns when I don't know it? And she was really petrified over the situation. But another woman moved in. She had a daughter. She saw the lake. She thought to herself, well, this water's going to be here, then I better teach my daughter how to swim. And so she sent her daughter to school to learn how to swim, so that if ever she got in the lake, she'd be able to get herself out of the lake. You see, the worry was the anxiety, the fears, the calamity that comes with those that are concerned. We think constructively, we look to Jesus, we believe in him, and we find a constructive way. If it's there, we find a constructive way to do it. It certainly does make a true difference. Now let's go on to the next one. What is the characteristics of a worrier? Well, worry is like a thief in the night that steals your spiritual peace. If there's nothing else that worry does, it will steal your peace. God never intended for you to live fearfully, focusing on the future. Jesus tried several times to tell you, don't worry about the future. Don't be bothered over it. Your Father is here. We're here. You say, but God never came. But you never trusted God. You worried. You see, sometimes when I read some of these that's asking for prayer, and I look at them and I think to myself, they're not trusting God. They're just worrying and wanting just what they want. But as far as seeing any light there of them trusting God, many times I don't. We're a hostage to our emotionalism, to our feelings. Oh, I feel like I can't take it. I feel like I don't know what to do. I can't understand. And so we're a hostage to it. If you are consumed with worry, you are experiencing some of the following physical and emotional symptoms, and we're going to look at some of them. Emotionally, what it does to you. Are you fearful of what others think about you? You're worried that this might happen because this will make people feel like this about you? Are you overwhelmed with fear of the future? Many people are. They look at the future and they feel like they just give up. There's no hope for the future. That's what depression becomes. No hope at all. And so when we get to the place that emotionally it begins to overwhelm us about the future, are you dismayed when you hear bad news right away? When you hear bad news, you begin to worry and you begin to wonder what's going to happen. If so, you probably don't listen to the news anymore, because most of the news is bad news on the NBC and CBS and Fox and the rest of them. Enough to make you very fearful if you allow yourself. There are people on the internet, as we read them, that are very fearful about the future. And they go on as if life isn't just going to last much longer if the election doesn't turn my way. You know, it's they've gotten to the place where they're very fretful over bad news. Are you fretful when an unjust person succeeds? Somebody in your job that you should have had? And you worry over the fact they've got it. Why didn't I get it? What did I do that I should have done? And it becomes a physical and emotional, rather emotional thing to us. Are you anxious over unresolved relationships? When you have trouble with relationships and you become very anxious over it? You say, but don't you do that? Listen, when God is the center of our life, and when man tries to rule our life, we can turn our eyes from man to the center of our life. Lots of times relationships break down. but it's what we have as the basis of our focus and the basis of our heart that makes the difference. So are you terrified of death? Yes, one time I was terribly terrified. I had a phobia. I even had a funeral and couldn't even have it. Listen, I prepared that old man for death. I cut his hair. I bought his funeral. I got his funeral suit. I played all the songs for him that we were going to sing. I mean, I got that man ready for his home going. And when he died, and I was supposed to preach the funeral, I lost my voice. Utterly. Had to get somebody else to come do the funeral. And then the next one came. And I thought, Lord, let me tell you, if you want me to preach the gospel, then you have got to take this fear of death out of my heart. And you know what? He did. In Cayman, I was known as a burying preacher. I had funerals sometimes 2 to 3 times a week. If I hadn't overcome that fear, by God hadn't helped me to overcome that fear, I would have never been able to keep on in my ministry. I thank God that when we turn things in, yes, we may have some of these things, but this is what we need to give to God. Stop our worry and stop all of these obsessions of things, giving them to God. Now, physically, are you having difficulty sleeping? Are you losing your appetite? Oh, man, that's bad when you lose your appetite. Are you overeating? Are you having headaches? You see, this is what worry does to us. When we get up in the morning and we worry about something, and during the day we're worrying about it, at night we're worrying about it, it has these effects on our body. Stomach? Oh, I think most of the stomach problems we have today has come from the seed of worry. You know? And it turns into these different things because of the acids, the reactions, the stress, and all that goes with it. Anyway, so you see, we can have some very, very bad troubles because of our worries. So that's why we wonder why. Causing a worry, when you worry about, is not nearly as important as why you worry. Why are you worried? You may know and love God, but when you trust in anything other than God's promise and provisions for your life, then worry will turn your heart away from the Lord and turn your trust into distrust. This is what is the cause. This is what really hinders. This is why it's wrong. This is why it becomes sin. When we begin to understand some of this. As we go on now, let me see here. Oh, tell me that. Did my battery give out? Anybody back there? Oh, okay. Oh, I got the wrong one. I put this in green. I took it out of red because I didn't think we could read it. I put it in green and it looks like it didn't turn out. Okay, distrust. We're distrusted. Worry is a distrust toward God. We get distorted thinking when we get worried. You know, there was one in my prayer list on the iPad. My husband hasn't come home, and he's usually here, and he's 4 hours late. Pray, I don't know what's happened. Well, you know, when they don't come exactly on time, if they're used to, then right away we have them in an accident. And it probably is a pretty bad accident. And maybe he's unconscious, and they won't be able to find me. And they, you know, that type of worry, it distorts our thinking. Control is gone. When you're worried, you're not in control. And we need to be. That's what distrust does. You become having a burden. You have a super responsibility on you. You're worrying, you're worrying, you're worrying. You feel that responsibility. What can I do? What are we going to do? How can we solve this? So you have some super responsibility being laid on your shoulder. And then it transfers our guilt. Instead of being able to trust God, we begin to realize that we're not trusting God. Let's go on. Peter, Peter's a good example of some of our trust. When the others saw Jesus walking on the water, they were a little anxious, a little upset. They didn't know what this was. Was this a spirit? But now Peter had just enough faith to believe that I could walk on that water. And so when he got out and he started across that water, something happened. He began to sink. What happened? Peter walked quickly, but he began a sinking experience, which changed his focus from Christ to his own focus. Instead of believing that God... See, this is what I'm saying about belief. I've fought this. I've lived this. Faith was one of the greatest things I had to fight for. When Paul said, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I know what he means. I was raised in a home that was Christian. I became a Christian. But faith was always, always just out there for me. Because I was a very logical thinker. And I guess I was an emotional thinker too. And every time I had a friend that said, maybe I've said this to me, she would say, Gene, when you get to that certain place, you seem like you're going to, and then you don't. You can't step in by faith. And it was only when God brought me to the place where I knew that it was either faith or sink, and I reached up high enough, and from then on, I've been able most of the time to grasp hold by faith. And this is what happens when we worry and doubt. When we hear Peter stepped out, that's a bad place to doubt. You know, it's better to doubt in the boat than getting out there and doubting and start to sink. But the fact is he didn't have true believing faith in Jesus. So this is some of the things. It's a wrong belief, you see. We carry a wrong belief. We believe God cares about me, but I can't really believe he's concerned with the everyday details of my life. I can't help but worry. But you're wrong. He cares about the everyday details of life. Peter came and he said, now, Lord, they're asking for our taxes. And what did Jesus say? Go out to the river or bay or lake or whatever it was there, catch a fish, take the coin out, and go pay the taxes. Very mundane thing, pay taxes. Then we also see that he said, now, my Father knows everything happens to every little bird. He feeds them. And sometimes, I love, like I've told you many times, I love documentaries. And I love those that are natural sometimes, teaching us how the food chain works and how these things are prepared for these little things. And it's amazing. Amazing how God just has prepared so many things for so many different things that take it in so differently. It's just wonderful. God does care. It's a wrong idea when you think he doesn't care about you and your everyday things. God has already promised to provide all the needs in my life, not your wants. Your wants is what trips you up sometimes. But he can supply us with our needs. I don't need to worry about how he will carry out that promise. I just trust in him. And this is where we have to get if we want to get rid of worry. And worry is worthless. I'm not going to go much on into this now, but it is. It's just worthless. It just takes up your time, your energy, hurts your health, hurts psychologically, and it hinders you spiritually. It takes away your peace. So you might as well understand that it just isn't worth it. Let's go on. Let's see what God's word says. God's word does say to you about worrying. He said, I'm not to worry. So it tells us, you're not to worry. God's word, what does God's word say that we should do instead of worrying? He said, I am to express my concern to him in prayer. Bring it to me. Come to me. Cast your burdens over on me. This is what he wants. What does God want you to pray about? He says, bring everything to him. Everything. What kind of attitude does God expect you to have? He said, I am to have a heart of praise and thanks, thankfulness. I come to him, I pray to him, and I praise him. What does God promise if you give him your worries? He said, I will have incomparable peace of heart and mind. We shall keep ourselves in a perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on him. These aren't just sayings. These are things that he really wants us as children of God to grab hold of and to understand. God's way, this is what he tells us. Acknowledge what you worry about. This is his way of doing it. Okay, Lord, I'm about to lose my job. Lord, I did lose my job. Acknowledge him and then begin to read his word. Philippians 4:8. He begins to talk to you. Then after you do that, evaluate each worry against each point. Are my thoughts true? Are my thoughts noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, exciting, are excellent and praiseworthy? In other words, he said, think on things that are like this. But you say, Sister Swartz, this problem, this worry I have is real. It's happening. So then what do? I think on the fact that my loving Lord, with a pure love for me, is going to give me victory over this, and it's going to be praiseworthy. Change your focus from worry to resting in God's sovereignty. Oh, we say, God can do anything. God can do anything. He never fails, but he sure can't do what I'm worried over. Eight occasions of worry. If you say, I'm afraid that my situation is impossible, the Lord said, I can make all things possible. Oh, but this is impossible, Lord. No. All things are impossible. I told the Lord this morning, I said, if this happens, Lord, it's a miracle. And it happened. I couldn't believe it. God knows how to do it. If you say, I'm worried that I'm not wise enough, the Lord said, I will give you my wisdom. Sometimes we need wisdom. We call upon him for wisdom. He said he'll give us wisdom. Had a friend of mine who's a carpenter in my church, one of my churches, and he had a problem about reconstructing something or doing something, and he said it was really bothering me. Went to bed that night, and he said, when I woke up, he said, I knew how to put it together. God had given him wisdom. You say, that's what God promises us. I feel anxious over the cares of the world. The Lord said, cast all your anxiety on me. This is what God wants. If you say, I'm overwhelmed with fear, the Lord said, I will give you my strength when you're afraid. It's a wonderful thing, his strength. I remember when one of my members and her husband and grandchild and daughter-in-law were killed in an accident. I didn't think we would have strength for it. But I felt God's strong arms under me during that particular time when I had to organize everything and I had to preach the funeral and take care of most of everything and take care of the family. And they were my best friends. But God gave me the strength. I know he can. If you say, I'm so worried I can't forgive myself, the Lord said, I can forgive you. If you say, I'm worried that my loved ones might leave me, the Lord said, once you've come to me, I will never leave you. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes people who leave you, you're better off. And God can take their place. And God can be a blessing. And that can be a blessing in your life. I'm worried that I might die. The Lord said, well, I'll give you eternal life. If you say, I'm so worried that I can't rest, the Lord said, I will give you my rest. These are some of the promises in the Word of God, what he wants to do to us. How do we rid our life of worry? We admit you have sinned and chosen to go your own way. You say, but I'm a Christian. Yes, but when you worry, you've sinned. And there's times that I have had to come and ask, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said it. I know. Please forgive me. We many times we're doing this because of our heart is close to God and we want it to be peaceful. And so we admit that we sinned and we chose to go your and you choose to go your own way. Now, Lord, I want you to forgive me and let me do it your way. Give Christ control over your life. Allow him to be your Lord. You know, we're control freaks. Most of us, we want to control things ourselves. We want it done our way, when we want it done. But let me tell you, when you give it to Christ, you have to wait. You have to trust. You have to lean. Tell God that you want him to do his will in and through your life. These are the ways to get rid of the life of worry. Recognize God's presence in your life. The Lord is your life. He's not just something we tag on Sunday. He's not just the religious part of us. He is our life. The Lord is your security. The Lord is your provider. The Lord is your protector. All of these things. And that's why he says worry is sin. Because I've told you I can overcome and you don't have to. Eliminate the worry, which produces I can't, shouldn't, mustn't, have to. You say, I can't stand to be rejected. Oh, yes, you can stand it. And God can give you victory over it. I should meet all their expectations. We'll never meet anyone's ever expectation. I must not fail. You see, these are worries that hound us, and it's what I must do, and I should do, and I can't do. But these are things we give to God. I must not fail. Well, I certainly learned in 76 years you're not going to live without failing. And you're going to bump your nose lots of times. And you're going to stumble your toe, and you even might break a leg. That's us. That's mankind. That's why we need to trust God. It's a time that you and I can build spiritual character. Here, wham, something comes. Suddenly, it's just like it's a blanket that comes over us and almost takes our breath. Jehovah-Phat, I told you that often, when three of these armies were coming at him, and the man came in and said, Jehoshaphat, three armies are coming to destroy us. He feared. No doubt for a moment, he probably was worried. But the fact was, he knew where to turn. Have your confidence in the Lord is directing your life, even in circumstances don't work out the way that you hope it do. So let God take care of that. Expect the Lord to make positive changes in you, even when you fail. Let your life be an example of growing older gracefully. Person that is charming, kind, loving, caring, not a worry wart. That's what we used to call them, worry warts. Always worrying. You know, have confidence that the Lord is directing your life, even if circumstances doesn't work out the way you have hoped. Now, in our family letter, Lee Ting has written an article about her and James. Lee Ting was to go home, and did go, but was to go home in July with us, first part. And then she was coming back in September, and the baby was born in October, I think. Yeah, this is the month, October, or the last of August. And then, but lo and behold, the government said, we're changing your time for you to come about your citizenship to an earlier date, which meant she had to come home earlier. Well, her husband had decided. James likes to do these things. So he decided he was going to Libya. He had gone there already. And he was going to go when she left and stay until she come home. But you know what happened in Libya? James, as a Secret Service man, no doubt might have been one of those fellas that was killed in Libya. But God changed their plans. You see, this is God. I know James. If James was to take care of that man, he would have took care of him. I thank God. Sometimes things that we don't like, sometimes things that has changed for us is because God has something far more better for us. Then we begin to cultivate our contentment with prayer. Just pray, Lord, I want to be accepted, but I don't care. I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy. When somebody hurts me, Lord, that hurt, but I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy. You and I have to protect our joy. We cannot allow these things of life to tear us down and to wreck us. We have to say to worry, no, I give it to God. I may not know what's going to happen, but I know how He can take care of things. One day I said to the Lord, Lord, my car is looking awful shabby. Now, do you want me to have it painted or get another one? And I didn't have enough money to get another one, but I thought, you know, if the Lord wants me to have another one, you know. So I went on to Taiwan. And just before I came back, somebody else was driving my car. And they had an accident. And my car was totaled. So the Lord answered prayer. You say, you left you with a totaled car? Well, the girl felt sort of bad, so she gave me $6,000. And what other I had, I was able to use it. And I paid $13,000 for my car. God just supplied it. Never owed a penny from it. He just brought it in. And now I had a beautiful car that I've had now for umpteen years. You see, God really cares. Why we're surprised is that you've never tried Him. You don't understand that when we serve Him, we give our all to Him, we follow Him, He takes care of His property. You say, but sometimes He lets people die. Sometimes they're martyred. But where do they go? They go home to be with Him. Would you rather be in Nigeria trying to dig out a little food for yourself or going home to heaven? Sometimes there's some things more precious in life, and that's eternal life with God. He always has a final say. So let us remember that. Worry is a joy killer. It strangles your spirit. By worrying, you choke the joy of today instead of fretting over the future. Trust God for tomorrow. He is always there. Remember that. Stop your worrying. You say, but Sister Schwartz, it's become a habit. I know it. Some people, if they don't worry, they feel worried because they're not worrying, which makes them feel like maybe they're not really concerned. You say you're joking. No, I'm not joking. Stop and think about yourself for a minute. If that doesn't worry you, you think, oh, people's going to think I don't care. So we have to be, you know, I'll have to worry. I'm going to tell you, when I was in a colored college. I did my fifth year in a colored college. And JFK was killed. Now, I'm a Republican. Didn't want him to die. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't the kind that was really love, you know, I was a Republican. But I didn't want to see him die, and I felt bad about that. But being in a black college, when, if any of you remember, JFK was loved by the black people, I think almost as much or more than the president now. They loved JFK. So being in that, I want to tell you, I looked like I was really, I knew my P's and Q's, and I knew that I had to look a little sad. So sometimes, you know, you have to worry, you have to look a little worried because you let the people know you're worried. I'm joking, but I want you to realize that a lot of your energy, your body problems, is because you allowed the things of life to tear you down. And the devil knows who is a worrier, and he will use that. Trust God. Read His word, believing. Thank you so much. I don't know if you have time to get coffee today. Anyway, thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Anybody with questions? I'm sure you have lots of them, but you never ask me. Someone said, oh, last week they talked so much. That's because I wasn't there. Thank you again.